Welcome to Megabucks Radio. Conversations with successful entrepreneurs, sharing their tips and strategies for success. Real world ideas that could put Megabucks in your bank account. Here's your host, Nina Hirschberger.
Welcome to today's show. This is your host, Nina Hirschberger. And my guest today is Mark Bowser. Mark lives with his family in the Cincinnati area, and he is well known in his ability to teach and train on leadership skills. He's quite the man. He's worked with many, many top-tier kind of companies. But Mark, welcome to today's show.
Well, thank you very much, Nina. It's good to be able to be here.
So let's go back in time. Tell me your story. You and I, you actually own a UPS store in the Fishers, Indiana area. And I think, if I recall, you've been in the family printing business for a long time. Am I right?
That is correct. We used to own the Bright Corporation, which was headquartered out of Anderson, Indiana, which is just north of Indianapolis. And my grandfather bought that business back in 1945, and we ran that for multiple generations. And then in November of 2021, we ended up selling that. My dad, at age 90, decided that he was done. He was ready to retire.
I can't understand that.
I know. Bob's probably going, "Well, where were you 30 years ago on that thought?" But anyway, we never thought he'd want to sell it, and but he decided that he would, and so we started looking into it to purchasers for that, and we found a guy who was interested in the funeral industry, because Bright Corporation was a publisher for the funeral directors. And that probably sounds odd to your listeners, but what it primarily did was the paper products, such as the register books, acknowledgement cards, prayer cards, memorial folders. That was the main bulk. And so we sold that then, and my younger cousin and I, we weren't quite ready to retire, and so we decided to look into franchises. And we explored many, many different franchises, and we just kept coming back to the UPS store franchise. It's not only one of the best in the world in terms of the world of franchises, and I think we're number two right now of all franchises that are available out there. And we found one. The blessing was that a store opened up in Fishers, Indiana. My cousin lives just 10 minutes down the road in Fishers from the store, and so it was a perfect fit. I handle sales and marketing and human resources. He handles operations, so it's more important for him to be physically there. And then I go over just a couple days a week from the Cincinnati area. I go over to Indianapolis and make my presence known over there, if you will, and help out where I can. And then I come back and do my other stuff. And kind of sideways in that is my cousin and I, we own two companies. We own the UPS store, and then we own Empowering Enterprises, which handles all of my speaking engagements, book royalties, and that type of thing.
Okay, so go back to, was it Brightway? Is that the name of the company in Anderson?
It was called Bright Corporation.
Bright Corporation. So what did you do there?
I did pretty much the same thing I do for the UPS store. I ran human resources. I ran sales and marketing. I'm a sales expert, and so that's kind of what I'm known for, that and leadership skills. And so that's I did the same thing for Bright that I did for our other two companies. Now, of course, with a small company, many times you wear many, many hats. So there were many times where it was crunch time, and maybe we had some employees that were sick or what have you, and then we're running out to process orders to get them out the door. So that happens all the time. Not only at the UPS store, that happened at Bright Corporation, and that's just the nature of a small business that you have to put on a different hat once in a while.
Well, I got to tell you, so when we moved to Fishers 5 years ago, we were going to build a brand new house, and so we lived with our son and his family for 6 months, and so I needed an address, to send things to. So I looked around, and I found the UPS store that you now own. Now, there's one closer to where we live than your store, but I'm telling you, I have been so happy with that store. Your manager is phenomenal. She's been there the entire time. But they're always friendly. They're always helpful. They're just, and the store is clean. And I grew up in the printing industry as well. My grandmother owned a mimeo letter shop. For those of us who are a little older, we can remember that smell. That was the pre-days of the copier. And as a kid, yeah. I would go in and I'd put the labels on and all of that. So today what we're going to talk about is sales. Maybe another time we'll talk about leadership, but I really want to pick your brain, want to hear your strategies, your tips, because the people that listen to this radio show are business owners. Most of them are brick and mortar, local, Main Street kind of thing, you know, your doctor, your lawyer, your whatever. And so I want to hear your tips on sales. How can you increase sales in a business?
Sure. Well, first of all, let me thank you for being one of our loyal customers. That's to let your listeners know. That's how you and I got connected, is through the store. And our manager, Kim, that you mentioned, she is fantastic. She is the heart and soul of that store. We have a very positive staff. It took us a while to get the right people on the bus, but my cousin and I and Kim, we worked very hard to get the right people in the right positions. And now it's running like a well-oiled machine, and our goal is to serve every customer as they come in the door with that smile and to help them go out the door with whatever their need was filled. So thank you again for being one of our loyal box holders, and we really appreciate that.
Well, it's
now, in terms of sales.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, go ahead.
He told me the other day, though, because of you guys being there, the sales of print jobs have really skyrocketed. And so obviously you're doing something right. You create a newsletter, and that's actually how I got to know you a little bit. Actually, that you've written a book. I bought the book on Amazon, and unbeknownst that you didn't realize what was going to happen, I took the book in, put a letter in there, and said, "Would you please autograph the book? I'm very impressed." So that's how that all came about. But okay, so let's start tips on sales.
Well, you mentioned one of our key ingredients that we use at the UPS store is a newsletter. One of our goals was to push print sales. And the reason for that is, one, that's our background. Two, the previous owner did a fantastic job of building the foundation of the store, but he didn't really push print. And so we wanted to kind of broaden that perspective. One way we've done that is through a newsletter. Now, that probably scares some of your listeners because they're going, I don't know what to put in a newsletter. I'm not a writer. I don't know what to do. Well, you don't have to be a writer. I happen to be a writer, so it's simple for me to just pull articles that I've written and put them in the newsletter. But if you haven't, there are many, many places on the web that you can go to that are basically article directories, if you will. And you can actually pull somebody else's article off there with their permission, and that's why they're on that article directory. And you can actually, you just give them a little bio in terms of, this is by Fred Smith, blah, blah, blah. And now you have some content. And the reason why that's important is you got to give the reader value. It has to be some sort of value. So let's say you're a dentist. Pass out a newsletter to every one of your patients who come in the door. Maybe give them two. Encourage them to give it to somebody else. You have an article in there of value. Maybe it's an article in terms of how to keep cavities out of your 10-year-old's mouth, that type of thing. Now, you've built some value, but what else do? You pack it with coupons. You put something in there that they may not know that you do. Like, for example, our store wasn't known for print. So we started packing that with coupons of print. And that began to tell people that, oh, wow, I didn't know the UPS store could do that. And so that's one way we've done that. I know a chiropractor. Actually, he's my chiropractor. And what he'll do is he'll give out, about the size of a business card, he'll give out a little coupon for a free examination, a free body scan, if you will. Now, why is that important? Well, because he won't serve you until he does a body scan. He's not going to come in and just let you just, hey, lay down and I'll just start cracking your back. No. That's dangerous. So what he does, he wants to make sure he knows exactly what's going on in your body before he starts working on you. And that's one way he gets them in the door. He gives them a free body scan, a free examination. And then if they want to choose his services, well, great. He's more than happy to do so. And now they become a patient. So that's another way of doing that. In a small business, a lot of it is position selling. Like, for example, we have a lot of college students and a couple high school students who work at the store. I don't expect them to become expert sales professionals overnight. They may never become expert sales professionals. That's not their goal in life. But I can teach them and help them position sell. Position selling is setting up the sale for somebody else to come in and close the deal, which would be myself, our manager, or my cousin. And how they do that is one way is by passing out the newsletter to people as they before they leave. Another way they do it is they do what I call funnel down selling. It's in the one industry that really does this pretty well is the fast food industry. Have you ever been to Wendy's and they've asked you, hey, would you like to biggie size that combo? Now, what they just did is they funnel down sell or upsell. It costs them pennies to biggie size your fries and to biggie size your drink. But they make millions of dollars doing that. So one way that we do it is we ask them, hey, is there anything else I can do for you today? Would you like some stamps? A lot of people don't know that we sell stamps. A lot of people don't want to go stand in the line at the post office. Well, we do that for them, and then they can get their stamps from us. And that's just one simple way that you can do that. And so funnel down selling or position selling, creating value with a newsletter, those are two ways that a small local company can begin to make some footprints with the people who come in the door.
So, yeah, I want to explore the newsletter a lot because I'm a very big fan of newsletters. And you're absolutely right. It's not hard. I would say, I got to begin to know you. You always have something about your background, your story, that you guys were cousins. I mean, and everybody's got a story. You could be going on vacation. Tell about the vacation. Put pictures of the vacation. You know, whatever. Maybe you have, I have a humor writer that's written for me since 2010, and he's written my dog blog every month since 2010. And Max is quite famous. Max even wrote a book. So what I had is I had my writer actually pick out 52 of his favorite blogs that he had written for Max, and I actually put it up on Amazon as a Tales of a Dog Named Max.
That's great.
So your newsletter, you know, people think, well, it's too expensive. It's really, I mean, yours is a 11 by 17-inch sheet that you just folded in half. If somebody's going to mail it, mm-hmm. you fold it a second time, and it becomes a self-mailer. So it's really very reasonably priced.
It is. And you don't have to put it on the nicest paper in the world. I mean, if you want to put it on 20-pound, that's fine. I would recommend 28-pound or a little higher. But it can be very, very economical. And for your listeners who may not understand print, what would be the difference? Well, 20-pound paper is a little bit thinner. Now, what that's going to do is if you're going to mail it, it's going to keep the weight down. And so you're not having to – you may only put one stamp on it versus having to put two stamps on it. Well, that may not seem like a lot, but magnify that a couple hundred times. And now you're in some more significant cost. And so that's the difference in those type of things.
I just read that the price of postage is going up to 66 cents. So it does add.
Yeah, I know.
It does add, but I say, you know, what is the cost to stay? I say top of mind for your clients. You don't have to send it to thousands of people, but what about the top 100? Or like you do is you pass it out in your location. Do you do that every month, Mark, or is it how often do you create your newsletter?
We do it 11 months of the year. During Christmas time, obviously our peak is from right around Thanksgiving to and through January. And so that's a very busy time of the year. And so our November and December newsletter are combined. It's a one newsletter. But other than that, it's every month.
Wow, that's really smart. So as you speak, to, you know, because you are a stage speaker, you speak all over. Have you got other businesses encouraged, and are they doing newsletters as well?
Well, we haven't really pushed the newsletter concept too much in a lot of the seminars that I do. A lot of seminars I do are what are known as on-site seminars, where, for example, a vice president of sales of a company will hire me to come in and work with his 12 salespeople, if you will. And so more that I'm looking in traditional selling in terms of helping them to develop need assessment, how to ask the right questions. And what everybody wants to know is, how do you close sales? And so we're talking a lot about how to do that. And then they're having to go through role plays with me. And my what I say to them sometimes is, you can get past me. Your prospect is not going to throw you for a loop, because I've heard them all. I've been there forever. And so I could usually say something that's going to make them think that they have to overcome. And that's the key. That's the key about in training is to overtrain them so they're ready to, when the big game is going on, if you will, that nothing shocks them. Or if there's something that startles them, they figure out how to go around it to help serve that customer. And let me just kind of say this, too, is I kind of grew up in the Zig Ziglar philosophy, if you will. In fact, I was associated with the Ziglar organization for many, many years. Had the honor of writing a book with Zig before he passed away called Sales Success. And one thing Mr. Ziglar used to say a lot is, he said, you're an assistant buyer. Because a lot of times when people are thinking about sales, particularly if you're a dentist or a lawyer, and selling is not your main profession or main focus, you've never been trained on how to sell. And so you think about selling as something you do to somebody. Well, Mr. Ziegler always pointed out, selling is something you do for somebody to help serve them. And he said, that's why you're an assistant buyer. Now you're on the same side of the table with them. You're working with them to serve them for whatever it's going to be that helps them. And that's why you don't sell to everybody. Not everybody's the best fit. Not everybody needs what we have. And that's fine. That's fine. Because we want to be able to service them. If I service them, now it's a win-win, and they're not only going to come back, they're going to spread the word.
Yeah, I love
and
that.
And the reason I bring
Something
that out.
Higher. I love
yeah,
that.
And the reason I, well, thank you. The reason why I bring that up is because selling gets a bad profession. It gets a bad name. It gets a black eye every day. And part of it is because of the mentality that has been preached for many, many years about the selling profession. That selling is those used car salespeople who just try to sell you a clunker that won't last more than a year. Or that terrible play years ago, The Death of a Salesman, or that terrible movie that had the line that says, always be closing. Those are all false myths and do a great disservice for not just selling, but the entire marketplace. Think of it this way. Nothing happens until somebody sells something.
Yeah.
Our entire economy is based on that.
Yeah. You know, I got to stop you a second. I have my little granddaughter here, so if you hear a little voice, she just came and she's asking for something. You know, this is real life. I love it. You know, you can do a radio show right in your office with your little granddaughter asking questions.
Absolutely.
Mark, what you're saying is absolutely perfect. I love it. So do you have – so when you're with those 12 salespeople – and the number one question is, how do I close? Do you have one example, or do you have something you can share with the listeners, a big tip for them?
Sure. First of all, people have to realize that closing the sale is just part of the process. Selling is a progression. If you don't prospect well, I don't care how good you are at closing, you're not going to be able to close the sale, because now you're trying to close to the wrong person. Need assessment. If you don't do the right questions and ask them and find out what their needs truly are, not what they might think they need, but what they truly need, then you're going to be trying to close on the wrong thing, and it's not going to work. So closing is a progression. But having said that, closing is tough for many people, because what happens is the buying tension grows. Now, buying tension is not necessarily a bad thing if it's used at the right time, and that's what the closing will do. But it creates tension for not only the prospect, it creates tension for the sales professional as well. And so the sales professional has to get comfortable with that tension when it's building at the right time. Now, having said that, let me give you one of my favorite closes, because everybody wants to know how to close sales. Is many, many years ago, part of my career, to tell you the truth, is I've had the privilege and blessing of being able to hang out and learn from the best of the best. I mean, people like Zig Ziglar has been a – I didn't know him very well. I was an acquaintance of his. I know his son, Tom. But Zig gave me advice throughout the years. Tom Hopkins, I used to get to hang out with his staff and talk to him once in a while. I was – early in my career, I worked behind the scenes at Peter Lowe's Success Seminars. Now, the Success Seminars were the largest business seminars in the world. And so I was one of the young guys in the back learning the behind the scenes of how those type of seminars work. And so I got to hang around with some of these folks. And another guy that I got mentored by earlier in my career was a guy named John Hammond. John Hammond was one of those crusty old sales guys who had been in sales for decades, knew more about sales than in his pinky than all of us know in our entire bodies. Well, I have a close that I just call it the John Hammond close because I learned from John. And John got tired of day after day, week after week, hearing an excuse from prospects that were basically a push-off. And if you've ever had a prospect say something that just does not make sense, they say something, well, I want to go home and sleep on it. I want to go home and roll around in my brain for a while. Well, what do you do with that? There's nothing you can do with that as a sales professional because you don't know what the problem is. And so John created a close that addresses that. And so when the prospect says something that just doesn't make sense, I want to sleep on it, I want to think it over, you just simply look at him and say, Mr. Prospect, I know you have a really important reason for saying that. Do you mind if I ask what that is? And then you go silent. And John said that this is not one of those cliches where the first one who speaks loses. There is a truth in this one. Because what's going to happen is the buying tension is going to go through the roof. But 9 times out of 10, the customer will say something like, oh, now I'll tell you what. The problem is I'm having trouble with, it just costs too much. Or I'm having trouble with, I don't think you can deliver it to me. Now you know what the problem is. So then you go back in the ball game and you can address whatever that pure, true objection is and help service that need. So that's one of my favorite closes because it deals with something that is a push-off that every salesperson gets almost every single day. But they don't know how to handle it if they just simply ask the qualifying question, Mr. Prospect, I know you have an important reason for saying that. Do you mind if I ask what that is? And then get the true problem and now close on that.
That's brilliant. You're so lucky. By the way, when you were on Peter Lowe's Success, did you ever meet Dan Kennedy? He was the one who
I was around Dan a lot. Dan is one of the best marketers in the world. And we almost lost Dan a few years ago. He got very, very sick. And the way I hear it, he made kind of a turnaround. But Dan is, I never got to actually talk with Dan personally, but of all the speakers, and there were many speakers on those platforms, and many of them sold product. And we helped run the behind-the-scenes product tables and the Live in Christ tables, which is where the Christian testimony stuff was given out and so forth. Dan Kennedy is the only speaker that gave us a commission on the sales of his products. And
wow.
Dan was very precise. He was back then he was selling his marketing, like magnetic marketing and it was in a bag, it was in a big burlap bag. And and he would sell out of his stuff most of the time. But it had to be very precise. We had to fill out every order exactly right. We had to do a number of different steps. And so our show manager, he'd say, okay, everybody give me all the orders to me. And then he'd go through them real quick, and he'd look through them to make sure everything was filled out properly. And then Dan would give us a commission. Now, Dan's an interesting guy, too, is that he usually spoke last. These were all-day seminars, and you'd have people like Zig Ziglar, like I mentioned Tom Hopkins, usually a celebrity speaker. Many times they'd get, like, a former president that would speak on there and so forth. And Mrs. Bush spoke on a lot of them, Barbara Bush. And anyway, he liked to speak last when about 10% of the audience was still there. They'd been there for hours. A lot of them had already left. And that's when he loved to speak. And he would still sell out of most of his stuff. And he was just a very interesting guy. But for small businesses, Dan Kennedy is the best marketer in the world, hands down. I mean, he's not big into brand marketing because none of us are Nike. We can't put the TV ads on that's going to cost us millions putting it on for the Super Bowl. And so he talked about direct marketing directly to the consumer or to whoever your customer is. And that works. And so that's why I've kind of followed Dan's philosophy in my marketing and my selling in terms of how can I get face to face, voice to voice, directly with the person who can buy. And because brand marketing, you can't quantify. Direct marketing, you can measure to find out if your marketing dollars are getting the bang for the buck.
Yeah, no, I met Dan in 1994, and he's been my marketing mentor ever since. In fact, just last week, I got a fax from him giving me a testimonial of the things that I do for his clients. So you're spot on. You're right.
That's
on.
Great.
I was actually in I worked at Notre Dame for 8 years. And side story, but I did a marketing campaign for one of the offices there and brought in $1.3 million. And Dan showcased it on one of his magnetic marketing updates. So Dan and I go back a long way as well. So I'm looking at the time, Mark. So we started out, we said newsletters. Then we talked about training for upselling with your staff. So when they come in, we talked then about sales and that one question that is just, you know, converts. We talked about Dan Kennedy being, you know, a master marketer. What other kind of tips do you have for any local business?
I think one of the biggest keys is to think about one word, and that word is influence. Whether you're a leader, which I believe we're all leaders, whether you're a sales professional, which I believe that everything is selling, it all comes down to influence. How can you get that person to grab hold of your idea or grab hold of your product or service, whatever it is, and move it forward? Influence is about moving things forward. And so how can you do that? And many times people think that that's moving it all the way at the same time. Now, what I mean by that is sometimes people have to crawl before they can run. And I think sometimes people are trying to push the sale too soon. They haven't formed any rapport. They haven't formed any trust. And they expect the person to buy today. I don't understand why they didn't want to buy that $1.5 million gizmo that I just wanted them to buy. Well, because you just talk to them for 5 minutes, they're probably not going to buy that $1.5 million gizmo. You have to build rapport. You have to build the trust and to be patient when the sales cycle takes a little bit longer. And that's where the position selling comes in. It may not be the first time they see a newsletter, for example. It may not be the second time they read the newsletter. It might be the 15th time that they read the newsletter. And then now they're coming in and saying, hey, can you do X, Y, Z?
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
Well, by George, I can.
Well, and I think you must also really believe in writing a book or being an author, even if you didn't write it. There's always ways to get around that because you've got a number of books. In fact, that was how I found you, was through your book. So talk about becoming an author.
Well, I started writing back in about, I think the first book came out around 1999, and that first book was titled Power Nuggets, just little nuggets of ideas to help people succeed. It is now called Jesus Take the Wheel. I'm also a Christian writer, and the title changed is because when another publisher picked that book up, they came to me and said, you know, Mark, we'd like to change the title. We think it'll sell more to women. We'd like to call it Jesus Take the Wheel. So I was trying to absorb, it's kind of like, okay, you think it's going to sell just more to women than men? hadn't thought of that. Second thing it was, isn't there a song by that title? And then my third thought was, are we allowed to use that? and so they reassured me and go, yes. So that one came out in the end called Jesus Take the Wheel. Most of my books are in the business area, such as my new leadership book is called Thrown In. It's primarily for inexperienced leaders or leaders that have been technically thrown in to a situation that now they are the leader and everybody's looking at them. It's written in business story form. So people learn through a story that's written a little closer to the novel type genre. I've written Sell Success My Mission with Zig Ziglar and Tom Hopkins and Scott McCain. Some of our Indiana folks might realize Scott McCain's name. Scott is a mentor of mine. Scott is one of our elder statesmen in the speaking industry now, and he kind of started me as I was young and kind of helped bring me up in the speaking industry. The one book that's a little bit more of an outlier out of the business genre or the Christian area genre is a book called Some Gave It All. And that is Danny Lane's story of his experience during the Vietnam War. And how that came about is Danny Lane is my martial arts instructor. And I was traveling so much, I couldn't go to a gym consistently. So I needed something that would work for being able to do in a hotel room or what have you. And Danny had a video-based program that taught his martial arts skills. Now, if you're not familiar with Danny Lane is one of the top martial artists of all time. He's a ninth degree black belt, former world kickbox champion, 9-time national martial arts champion, and one of Chuck Norris's top black belts. He's good friends with Chuck and has worked out with Chuck for 40, 45 years. And so that's Danny Lane. Well, as Danny and I got to know each other, I realized he's got a story in there, because I began to realize, he's a Vietnam vet, a war hero, 2 Purple Hearts. And so a little bit of my urging, and I think more of his wife's urging, we got him to open up to tell his story, a story that he had been trying to forget for 40 years through the post-traumatic stress disorder and so forth. And so that was that one's totally different genre than I'd ever written before. Danny and I co-wrote that, and how our process, we even wrote it, was a little different. Is I was asking him to go back and remember things that were awful. And so, as gently as we could, he would basically just write down his thoughts. He would write down his memories. He's a decent writer himself. He'd write all those down, and through a lot of tears and a lot of heartache, he was able to get that out. It actually helped him with his post-traumatic stress disorder. And then I would take that he'd send to me, and I would actually turn it into a book. And even some things that startled me, because something you may not know is my degree is in history. That's my background is history. And he was teaching me stuff that I never learned in my history classes. Like, for example, he started talking about these rock apes and the problems they had with these rock apes over in Southeast Asia. And I'm going, wait a minute, time out. What's a rock ape? I've never heard of a rock ape. And he goes, oh, they were awful. There were these ape things, and they were about maybe 4.5-5 feet tall, and they walked straight up. And he said, at the dusk of night, you couldn't tell what these were. You couldn't tell if it was the Viet Cong or what it was. And the Viet Cong and the North Vietnamese Army, what they would do is they would train these rock apes to throw rocks and grenades at our troops. So it just wasn't the tunnels and the booby traps and the enemy they were facing all the time. They were having to face the elements, including little soft squatch type things, and they were just awful. And so they were in constant. He said, Everything bad happened at night. Everything bad happened at night. If he told me that once, he told me that a million times, because they dreaded the night. He was a Marine, and they would be out in the jungle for 3 months at a time. I mean, completely out in the jungle. You sleep, you eat, you do everything out in the jungle, and you don't come back. And it was awful. It was awful. But without people like Danny Lane, this country wouldn't be where we are today. we wouldn't be free like we are today. And I know our country has some challenges right now, but nothing compared to what we'd have if there weren't people like Danny Lane doing what he did and going through what he did. And not just then. A lot of, and you hear the veterans talk about it, their talk about it is sometimes living through the war was the toughest battle because he's fought that same fight for 40 years. And the trauma, it's not quite as bad as it used to be. He says, I don't have the nightmares of Nam anymore, but he says, I still have nightmares. He says, there's always something going on in my brain that now I'm having to go do something to somebody to protect something. And that happens over and over. And that's what our veterans go through, to where one of the big causes that we had for the book is the Project 22. There's an average of 22 veterans that die every day by their own hand by committing suicide. And that's got to stop. That's got to stop. I think particularly that Vietnam era, that is like the – every war is awful. But the Vietnam vets did not get the accolades, and that's not even the right word. They did not get the support and the help from a thankful nation when they came back. And I still don't think to this day they've gotten quite what they deserve. And so Danny's had a lot of health issues that were caused by the war, heart issues and GI tract issues that were caused from all the stuff they were exposed to over there in the jungle. And he had a malaria a couple times. Obviously, he was around Agent Orange and all that. These guys were just heroes of what they had to do.
Yeah. Well, Mark, I am looking at the time, and we are out of time. If somebody wants to get a hold of you, you know, maybe hire you to speak, maybe hire do you do private coaching for sales, or is it in a group setting?
Most of mine are in group settings. I do coaching every once in a while, and so if somebody's interested in that, they can contact me and we'll take a peek at that. Best way to contact me is through my website, which is markbowser.com. That's markbowser.com. Or if you're in the Indianapolis area, pop into our UPS store on Oleo and 116th in Fishers, and if I'm not there that day, just drop a little note with a Kim or Kendra, who's our assistant manager, and they'll make sure they get that to me.
That sounds terrific. So thank you for being on the show. I been jotting down lots of notes myself, but it's always fun to meet another entrepreneur, another marketer, another salesperson, and you are certainly one of the best. So thank you, Mark, for being on the show.
I appreciate that. Thanks for having me today. It was great.
So this is Nina Hirschberger. Until next time, go out and make it a great day.
Thank you for listening to Megabucks Radio with Nina Hirschberger. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show or to listen to past episodes, visit megabucksradio.com.